For those of you who don't know, this is John and Kimberly Calhoun. They're some of our missionaries that we have supported for years, right? And we were having a discussion during prayer time this morning. How long have you guys been in Uganda? All right, 2000 or 3 or 4. So that's about 20 years. That's kind of what I guessed. So that's exciting. They're going to be here this morning. Give an offering to them. Put it in the box in the back. We'll mail it to them. But would you give a warm welcome to John and Kimberly?
I'm on. Okay. Well, I did not want to be moved by worship today. I did not want to get up here with red and puffy eyes and runny nose. But those songs were picked for me this morning. I needed an attitude change because this has been a week, and it was just for me this morning, so thank you. Okay. So anyway, if we can go to the first slide. Oh, look at that. Okay. So this is the school. It's one half of it. Facing it, there's more buildings. That's, you can see three sets of classrooms, so there's two classrooms to each block. And then on the very end is the Learning Center. And Uganda was out of school for two complete years. You know, in the village, we don't have online learning, so they were just running wild for 2 years. So I wanted to tell you how we got out of Uganda, because we were there when COVID hit. And, you know, when COVID first came out, people really didn't know what it was. And it was scary news from China, you know, and there we are in Uganda, and we're hearing snippets of this and that. And we decided maybe we should come home early. So we changed our tickets for a week earlier. And then we took a friend, David Mosier, to the airport and dropped him off, and we thought maybe we should leave even earlier, you know. Well, we went back home to Nebisoto, and then I was on Facebook, and somebody said, oh, the president shut down the airport. There's no more flights out. And we were like, you know, it was that fear, because, like I said, all that news about COVID, and nobody really knew what it was. And so we started praying, okay, God, you know, what do? We're stuck here. Well, then somebody said that it was illegal to shut the airport without 24 hours notice. So they opened it for 24 hours. So then we were frantically trying to get a flight. We were up for hours because, you know, the websites were all crashing because everybody was trying to get everywhere. And so all they had when we finally got there was two business class seats. So we got them. To Dubai, yeah. So we were up till, I don't know, 3 or 4 in the morning, and then we slept for a couple hours, and then we got up and headed to the airport. Well, the airport was absolute madness. It was really scary. There was hundreds of people crying, yelling, trying to get out. They were calling security on everybody and escorting them out of the airport. The most one that I remember was a man who had a pregnant wife. I don't know. I think they were American. Or something. They spoke English, and yeah, she was big, and they couldn't get out. And he was so upset. You know, he was like, "We need to get out of here," you know. And they ended up calling security and taking him out. And she was there, and another man was just yelling, and they had to escort. They were just escorting people out all the time. So we go up to business class. The line was shorter, you know, and. She said, oh, I'm sorry, this is just no good. And I said, what do you mean it's no good? And she said, well, you need to have a flight out of Dubai to Seattle. And I said, we do in 2 days. So we'll just spend 2 nights at the hotel inside the airport because we've already got our reservations. And they said, no, you're only allowed to spend one night. And we're like, but we're not leaving the airport. No, you're only allowed to spend one night. You have to get out of line. So, you know, we saw so many miracles. First, the miracle was that we got flights to begin with. The second miracle was on the way to the airport, John told Hannington to stop and get internet for his phone. And there was no reason to get it because we were leaving Uganda. You know, we don't need it at home. So then we got out of line and John goes, I've got internet. I'm going to get on the laptop, put the internet on the laptop, and we're going to try to get flights from Dubai to Seattle for tomorrow morning. And that was frustrating in itself because all these people are there, there's yelling, there's carrying on, and he's trying to get on the internet and get us flights. So he got us flights, and which was another miracle because everything was full. Everybody was trying to get home. And so we got back into the business class line, and I said, okay, you know, we can't print this, but here you can see our screen. We have flights. And so she gets on the computer, and she goes, I can't see them. I'm sorry. You know, and I'm shaking, and we're like, oh. And I said, please. You know, she goes, you need to get out of line. You know, go talk to security. And I said, please, you're the only one that can help us. You know, we have flights. You see them both. And she said, well, let me try to check you in for the second flight since it's just tomorrow. So she did, and it checked us in. And so she goes, okay, you're free to go. And we were like, whoa. You know, it was crazy. And then we got home. We got a taxi to my mom's house where our car was. And, you know, she stayed outside, stayed far away from us, and left our keys. And then we drove home. We didn't see another car. I mean, how does that happen? From here to Cleelum and on all the back roads, we didn't. It was so weird. It was weird. And so anyway, that's what that picture represents to me. So that's what happened. So our first trip going back to Uganda, we sat home for 2 years. Now, why was this good? It was good because we got to rest, because we've been going to Uganda twice a year, you know, for a long time, and usually we stay there 4 or 5 months out of the year. And so when we come back, we're either catching up from the trip or we're preparing for the next trip. So it was really nice. We just rest. We got a lot of rest.
And we built a house, too.
Oh, yeah, we also built a house during that time. Then another thing was that financially, people kept giving. So financially, we're sitting very well, because everybody was giving those 2 years, but we weren't paying teachers, we weren't building anything. So that was also a great thing that happened out of that. We kept our teachers for a few months, so we didn't know what was going on. We gave them extra money when we left, and we took them to the market so they could get food. We said, get food. We don't know what's going on, you know. And then we kept a few of them for a few months, but then it just kept going on and on, so they sent them all home. So anyway, so the first video that we have is the baby class. And once they learn the alphabet, they'll take turns sending kids up to teach the other kids the alphabet.
7, 8.
Or numbers. And then they do a little dance. So once they get up there, if they do a good job, they'll say, Betty, Betty, you are so good. And you're supposed to dance while they're saying your name. So it's the cutest.
Okay, and this is Maggie. She's going to be, she's come over with her family since probably she was like 16. She's now a registered nurse. I think she's going on 24 now, something like that. So she'll be coming with us here in a couple weeks when we head back over again. So we finally got our dormitories open.
Wait.
What am I waiting on?
This, I want to go back to Maggie.
Oh, girls.
So what we did was when we got there was, so we hadn't seen the kids for 2 years. We surprised the secondary kids and we showed up at their school. And it's like a 2-hour harrowing drive. But we made it there. And I heard some kids dancing in one of the classrooms. So I went in and just peeked my head and came out. Well, one of our girls was in there and she saw me. So she came flying out and saw Maggie. And she just hugged her and started bawling. And it was a super fun day. We brought peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. They'd never had one before. So that was their first PB&J. They loved it. We played Uno. And then when they heard that Maggie was graduating as a nurse, they got the entire school together. It was probably 1,000 girls. And Maggie got to tell them what she had to do to go through to get her degree. So it was a good day.
Yeah. This is Ebenezer. It's a high school. And so there's another group that we're not really formally associated with, but through some various connections on the east side. Julie Sechrist is her name, and she's been involved with Ebenezer in a different area. So we had kind of helped each other early on as far as like some, I'd helped them with some technology things, and they'd helped us with some teacher type stuff and different things. So
it's cool. She's from Bellevue, and so we've got schools 2 hours apart. And so we're sending all our secondary kids to her high school. How cool is that?
So that is kind of neat. Okay, so we do, let's see, so it's next slide, so I hope it is the next slide. Okay, dormitories. Okay, so we did finally get the dormitories open, and the reason that we built the dormitories was to bring kids from the city, from Kampala, with parents that had the ability to pay. To have their kids go to school. It's a very common thing. It's a very British system in Uganda since they're a former British protectorate. And so we have a girls' dormitory, and then opposite that we have a boys' dormitory. We have extra security. We have dorm matrons. We were even doing advertising on the radio and just getting all set up to get this going. Guess what? We got, when the whole COVID thing hit. And so they sat kind of, everything sat empty for a couple of years. So now we're trying to get everything kind of fired back up again. So the idea, of course, was to have the revenue stream help these kids in the village to be able to do that. And so we've always wanted to have we don't want to be completely funding a school from here. We want parents there to be involved in it. We're trying to figure out how to do all of that. And so that was our big goal and idea to do that. So we have several of the kids that are in school or at our school. And this is PC, and she has Down syndrome. And we brought her into the dorms just because she's getting a little older now and starting to look like a, look like a young lady. And so it's not good for her to be in the village and be exposed to a bunch of that stuff. And then Fred, we brought Fred in too. He's in the boys' dorm. And we have several other kids that are in there too. As far as, because, for instance, Fred, his mom, makes what they call war gin. And so they make their own brew, and she's got a bunch of, people around their house all the time, and it's kind of like Party Central there, and drunk people all the time. And we don't think that he was necessarily getting abused or, beat up, but sometimes he would have to leave home and try to go somewhere. There really wasn't any place for him. And of course, Kimberly really loves Fred, so she wanted to make arrangements and bring him over so that he's got a place to stay.
So this slide is about trying new things. This time, I always try to bring new things to try, for the kids, because they just, you read things in books, it's not the same as trying it. So this year, it was Jell-O. Hannington said he did not need to try it again. And then I took it to the dormitories, and if you guys could, I wish I would have thought to put it on video to see the kids put it in their mouth. I mean, the expressions on their faces was just hilarious. Some of them did not want another bite, but the littlest kids, they were into it. PC was really into it. She would have ate the whole bowl. And so anyway, it was really funny. The other thing is I brought a little electric piano. You can see PC playing it there. That was a huge, huge hit. The next slide was binoculars. So we climbed up to the top of the property, and you can see the whole swamp, that swamp that you see on the very top. And then way across the swamp, there's some farms. So they could see, I could see a chicken. You know, they were so freaked out that everything was so close. And even the teachers just loved it. And next one is volcanoes. So does anybody here know Glenn and Suzanne Swanson or Doug and Diane Stoddick? Okay, well, that's Doug and Diane Stoddick's daughter-in-law, Suzanne, and she came from Hawaii. So she brought volcanic rocks, volcanic sand. You know how there they have different colors of sand from, you know, the volcanoes. And she brought videos because she had volcanoes. She lives in Hilo, so there's a volcano close to her house. So the teachers were over the moon, and so were the kids, because you can read about it. But when you see that lava moving, you know, in a live video, they were amazed. And all the different pictures and being able to touch the rock, the lava rock, and explain. And she had great insight. She said, I don't know how many years it takes for that lava to actually cool, you know, before you can do stuff on it. She had so much information that was super, super fun. Okay. Next slide is Bop It. That was the teachers. The teachers are playing Bop It. You know that game where you twist it, pull it? You have to listen, and you have to do what it tells you to do.
Yeah, so we couldn't find new ones, but we went around to different places, and we got things from, like, Goodwill or whatever, and kind of cleaned these things up and took them over there.
So they're playing the Bop It game, and then one of the teachers has binoculars.
And that's the dormitories.
Behind.
Right behind there.
Yeah.
Those are the dormitories at the end of the... Okay, next slide. Okay, some power poles. I think when Brett was there in 2017, we had power that had come down. A guy had brought it to a big chicken farm, and it was a couple of kilometers still from where we were. And so that was where the end was. And that was a big deal just to get it that far. Fast forward to about 2 years ago, they actually got the lines put in, and it takes a long time. I mean, the first they put the poles in, then about a year and a half later, somebody came along and put one or two of the lines on. And then about another year later, somebody showed up with a transformer. And, you know, so, you know, this has taken a while. And so that picture of me pointing at that box is because people steal power in Uganda, and they come around, they try to unhook them. Well, guess what? They hooked a live line to the ground, and they put the, so they basically just reversed it. So I'm in there working away, and I'm being safe, and all of a sudden I touch my forearm to that box, and I'm like, whoa. This thing's got power on it. So then I'm like, well, it must have been me, or it must be the main line coming down. I must have not taped it good enough. It must be touching the box. So I'm in there looking at it, pulling on the line. I touch it again. Wow, even worse. So I check the power between that box and the door frame, and I'm getting 250 volts. And I'm like, this ain't right. And we had to put in several drops like that in different buildings. So we put one in the main office building, then we put one in the men's dormitory building, the women's dormitory building, and then up at the mission house where we were. So we got meters put in and drops into all of those buildings. And that picture with Paul working on that system there, that's the one that Brett and I were futzing around with a few years ago. And so we were bringing in a feed over from the main office to that facility, and just getting everything connected up. And so we had a couple of interesting things as far as some firsts there. Next slide, I think. Yeah. So, of course, putting in all this power, and I'd have kids, you know, looking through the windows when they were on break and stuff like that, trying to figure out what the heck was going on. And so some of the older kids were really interested in was happening. So Kimberly asked me, can I, you know, do something for them that would be kind of a practical thing? So we did a lesson on circuits, and I brought down a bunch of different size wires and some tools, and you wouldn't believe it, but the UMIMI guys, that's like the PSE guys there, they show up with like a pocket knife and a pair of pliers, and, you know, they look like things that we would have thrown away 20 years ago. And I'm serious. I mean, that's their tools that they use and work with. So I was showing them all kinds of different tools and a digital multimeter and how things work. And then we built a little circuit and plugged it in, and it actually worked. And they were pretty thrilled about that. And so that was kind of fun doing that. So we had a lot of questions from them, and then showed them some different things about solar power, because that's what we had been on for years and years. And so we had three main facilities all being run by solar panels. That's it, charge controllers, and then finally found some DECA batteries that are made here in Pennsylvania, and they ship them over there. And I don't even want to admit how expensive those things are. But anyway, that's how we had been able to do this work over there. So next slide.
Well, the other fun thing, well, that is just a giant papaya. I had to put that in. Can you believe how big that is? I saw him at the supermarket, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, that is the hugest papaya I've ever seen. But anyway, the other thing about electricity was we had to have a class with all of our staff. So there was, I don't know, 20-something people there, and only one of them had ever put in a light bulb. So we had the socket and light bulbs, and we got in lines for girls and boys, and we had to have them put in the light bulb and take it out. John had to explain, you don't put your finger in here. You know, stuff like that. Another thing that they'll do, they'll see somebody do it, like they'll take bare wires and put them in the holes to power things. I mean, so we had to have a class and just assume that they knew absolutely nothing and start from there, and they didn't. So it's just things we take for granted. You think everybody knows how to put in a light bulb.
Yeah, and they'll do crazy things like, instead of, they don't have stoves that have gas. Typically, people don't have that. So if you want to start your little stove, it's charcoal. So if you want to heat up your soup or make your dinner, first you got to get some fire together, and you got to get your charcoal, and you got to start your stove and all that. However, if you have power, they know that you can stick two wires into this thing and then stick those two wires into your bowl of soup, and it will heat up. Don't ask me how they know that. Okay, but they will do this. So when people said, oh, we just want lights off of your solar system, or I'm like, no. No, we will help you if you want to get your own solar-powered light and put it in your room, and you spend the money, and you're responsible for it. But I know what you do with things. So this is not happening. Okay.
All right, the next slide. Another first. I taught the dorm boys how to play Monopoly. So
we don't have
hooked.
The picture of the table upturned and the Monopoly board. No, it didn't.
They were buying, selling, and financially breaking their opponents. It was great.
They loved it.
They loved it. Okay, next we have a little video. I was outside in the for chapel. They have chapel every Friday, and they pick a class to do something. They either do a song or recite a verse or do a skit. Well, I caught the kindergarten class practicing their skit, and it was so cute. And the words might be hard to hear, so I'm telling you something about it. They're saying, oh, I see that you have a new car. And he's like, yes, here's my business card. May I have your business card? Yes. And they say, well, what can you do to make the Lord happy is what the song's about. And they're saying, well, I'm going to give him the best of my car. Oh, no, he won't take it. Well, I'm going to give him the best of my pen. Oh, no, he won't take it. I'm going to give him the best of this. They say, no, what does he want? What does God want? Or what can you give God? And they say, a humble heart, a caring heart, and love. So that's what it is when you see it. Go ahead.
Happy, what shall I give to the little sister? Every day she knew sweeping their trash. Yes, it's good to work for the Lord. Let me give you my business.
A caring heart, a patient heart, with love.
so cute. Okay, the next slide is baking. I didn't know this, but in sixth grade, they teach baking. You know, how can you teach baking if you've never baked, if you've never had an oven? So
they teach computer classes the same way. Here's a picture of a computer. Here's a picture of a computer mouse.
So Suzanne and I decided to give them a baking class. So she had this recipe for, like, muffins that had raisins. They'd never had raisins. And we cut up jackfruit because she's from Hawaii, so she has jackfruit, so she knew we could do that. So we had to take everything down to the Learning Center, and then we took turns, you know, cracking eggs, cutting whatever. Everybody had a job, and we went around, and everyone got to do it. And we made these muffins, and then they put them in the muffin tins. Well, then we took them back up to the house and baked them. And then you can see them enjoying the fruits of their labor. But it was funny because he was telling me, they were asking questions about, well, what about bread, making bread? You know, what about using yeast? And, you know, how does that work? So we were explaining how yeast, you know, makes it puff up and makes the dough puff. And he goes, the dough? And we said, yeah. And he goes, oh, I was telling the kids that it was called duff. And I go, yeah, it's dough. So it just kind of goes to show you how when you're just learning from a book, you know, it's totally different. The other story I have was during COVID, we were talking to Hanishna on the phone. He goes, I want to make your banana bread. You know, they'd never had it before. He loves banana bread. I go, okay, well, I left the recipe there. I told him where to get the recipe. He goes, okay, I'm going to make it. Well, then after we had this baking class and everything, I was talking to him. He goes, well, I got to tell you what happened with the banana bread. I said, what? He goes, well, it said, you know, put in 2 cups of flour. Well, he took the 2 drinking water glasses, filled those with flour. When it said a teaspoon of whatever, he would take a big soup spoon. So then he ended up with this big, huge mess
glop
of something. He goes, I put it in the oven, and I baked it, and I baked it, and I baked it, and it wouldn't bake. And so he said, finally, I took it out, and I decided to make pancakes out of it. So he scooped it out, and he goes, and then I gave them to the kids at the dorm. He goes, they loved it. They didn't know the difference. So I had to explain to Hannington that there are measuring cups, that there are measuring spoons, and that you need to be precise when you're baking.
And so there's a big difference between cooking and baking.
So anyway, that was pretty funny. Okay, so the next school, or the next video, oh, this is a picture of the Sunday school. So that's the kitchen. So, where the cooks cook is, there's a building to the right, but this is where the kids eat. So Sharon, our nurse, was doing Sunday school here. So, and they do Sunday school for like a couple hours. Well, this is the senior Sunday school, and they had memorized some verses, so that's what they wanted to present at chapel.
We are going to give you one memory verse. Three memory verses. Three memory verses.
John chapter 15, verse 5, 6 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Jeremiah
chapter 32, verse 7. He says, Behold, I am the Lord of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?
James
chapter 4, verse 7. He says, There are more something to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
That's all we have.
So they typically, you know, will memorize, you know, 3 or 4 verses every week. So kind of impressive. Okay.
And the Muslim students do the best job at memorizing scripture.
That is absolutely right. We do have a bunch of Muslim students, and they are so serious about their reading and memorizing and things like that. They are very, very serious.
So they probably know more of the Bible than our Christian students.
Okay, and we do have, because of Ugandan law, we have to have a study hour, a class on all faiths. And so they talk about the Christian faith, they talk about the Muslim faith predominantly, and then they will also talk about other worlds' faiths as well. But that's part of our curriculum syllabus, so we end up having to do that. So I guess you could probably say we lean kind of a little harder one direction than the other. Okay, so some of the fun things I get to do when I'm there, I consider a little bit fun, is in Uganda, it's really interesting, and I found out over several years that I was like, why are you guys not planting trees? And, you know, what's going on? Why aren't you replacing things and, you know, doing stuff like that? Well, I found out from one of the younger guys that worked for us years ago, was that I was asked, he has a really nice avocado tree. And I was like, why aren't you guys, you know, replanting this, taking it to different areas? He says, well, that's something that old people do, you know, Jaja's grandparents. And so, you know, that Chinese proverb that says, when's the best time to plant a tree? 20 years ago or today, you know, is that proverb. And so I was trying to get them to do more of that and plant things there that are valuable for food. And so we've got a bunch of different things. Let's see, we've got mangoes, avocados, pineapples, jackfruit. We got date, medjool date trees from Bart, California, that are coming up over there. And that one on the left is where we had a male tree that finally, I think that was planted in 2015 or 2016, is now finally, you know, decided to put out its little thing. So we're waiting. I haven't seen one female tree yet. You'd have no idea what, you know, you get what you get when you grow things from seed. But we actually have macadamia nut trees that are producing, and those macadamia nuts are super hard. And so I've got some, you know, some big old crackers, you know, that you got to really put your energy into getting them open. So we actually found a macadamia nut cracker online. We're taking that over with them. So we were showing that to the students. We've also got soursop, guava, a cashew nut tree, and of course we've got trouble with monkeys. And so these guys will come down off the hills and they will get into the pineapple field. We got it's up high. It's behind the missionary housing and the visitor housing, where the hill is just really rock and you really can't grow anything up there. Well, guess what? Pineapples don't care. So you get them started. And we started with, I think, seven. I bought the tops from a guy in town. He was throwing them away, and I gave him a little bit of money for them. He's like, what do you want those for? You know, so took them back, got them started. I think now we've got probably close to 200 pineapple plants on that hill up there. So, and Uganda produces great pineapples. So the monkeys, they get into everything. The corn, we've tried to have dogs to chase them off, people to chase
but
them off,
so
things
cute.
Like that. But they are. They're cute, but they're like trash pandas over there. So it's like that. So there is a little video.
When we went to a park. We went to a park in Entebbe because we went a day early, and so I got to actually feed the monkeys, so I was pretty happy.
Huntington, do you want some?
No. Huntington did not want to feed them.
I'm just videoing you. Kimberly, did you ask it what its name was?
This one, Veronica, the one with the baby. Get the baby, John. Do you see the baby underneath?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh, it's so little. Hey, you're kind of a pig.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of a pig.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
They're just adorable.
Oh, the type of monkey, the breed or whatever. Yeah, they have a bunch of them there, too. They had ringtails and stuff, but most of the ones that we have are just like those out in Ebisoto. And there's a couple of mean ones. I'll, like, chase it off, but it's a pretty big one. It'll turn and try to challenge you, and I'm like, this would be a great time to have a Ruger. But,
okay, this is do you guys remember last time I talked about Grandma Maria? This is her daughter, Scovia. So Scovia's, I don't know, 70 maybe? Because her mom died when she was 94, so I think Scovia is like 70. And she has a lot of health problems, so I just wanted you to pray for her if she comes to your mind. She's got high blood pressure and a lot of other issues. She's always hurting. And so I pray for her every time I go over there. you can tell in this photo she wasn't feeling very well. So I just wanted you guys to kind of remember her.
And her husband is Masitwa. He's going blind, and he's a retired Anglican pastor over there, so he's a local.
Okay, leader. So the next one is the kindergarten class. Their teacher taught them this, and they surprised me with it one day, so I had to ask them again how they were so I could hear it and get it on video so you can show that one. How are you?
We are fine, humble, obedient, and ready to learn.
Humble, obedient, and ready to learn. I just thought that was the coolest.
So in Uganda, if you didn't know, I mean, they obviously have their own language, but Uganda is about the size of the state of Oregon, and they have 55 languages in Uganda. And so because they were British, it's English is the law of government. So if you want any kind of a job as for anywhere from a policeman to a lawyer to whatever, you have to speak English. And so we've got most of our best speakers now are probably in like P1, P2, and then, you know, they get better. But if they have been managed to come in and learn to speak, but, you know, we do have to kind of, sometimes they say words and we're like, what? You know, where did that come from? Like the duff, you know, so issue. Okay, so on this is a bunch of our kids that have taken the P7, set for the P7, have scored out, tested out. They have to test out. And then they can head off to secondary school. And so that's Ebenezer High School. And what we do is the ones that score well, we get with them and the parents, and we make the parents, of course, pay for their, what do they call them, the supplies that they have. They have a term for it.
Requirements.
Their requirements. And, you know, so they have to buy a uniform. They have to have all these things. And so we'll help them, you know, as long as they're serious about their learning. And so, of course, we need help to be able to help them do all this kind of stuff. So we get the parents to pay a portion. In the field pays the rest. And so we look for about $50 a month to cover general fees for this boarding school. So when they're there, they, you know, it's 24 hours a day. They have to do a lot of stuff at the school, but they also get fed there. And so one of the things that happened this past year is that all the kids got sent home about 2 weeks early because the school ran out of water because it's in a very dry area, and so they're well dried up. And they ran out of food, and so they didn't really have an answer for that, so they just sent all the kids home, had them test out, and sent them home about 2 weeks early. So we were kind of like, wow. And so they're looking to address that situation.
So in the left corner in front, that's Najib. You guys were praying for Najib? He's the Muslim boy that became a Christian. He gave his life to Christ in chapel. So he's going to go into a secondary school. There's also a set of twins. They're identical. They're Muslim, and they have been going to our Christian school since they were little. So they worship at chapel, they memorize scripture, and now they're going to Christian high school. So just keep our kids in prayer, please.
And the Muslim parents actually in the area really do like to send their kids to our school because they know that we're serious about you know, their education. So that's, you know, one of the main reasons that they send their kids there. Next slide, please.
Okay, so here's why I've been having a bad week. We just got an email from Hannington like several days, like a week ago, and it said, oh, by the way, I let everyone go. And they were trying to take over the school. And it was, and I was like, what? And so we talked to him a few days ago, and he actually thinks that they tried to poison him, which is very common in Uganda. And I don't know if he just thought that letting everybody go would take care of the problem. So he literally let go like 20 people. And so I've been really struggling because I've spent years training all those people. And he waited to tell us. There's this cultural thing where they don't like to give you bad news. So, you know, if he had told me, you know, a month ago, I could have planned my whole trip around, you know, I need to have all these teacher meetings, and I need to have, and he just kind of sprung it on us, and we leave in 2 weeks. So I've been a little, having a little pity party. And all those songs that we sang this morning were just like, he's a miracle-working God. I don't see how this can work out. You know, I don't see how I'm going to be able to do everything that I want to do with all these new teachers in the time period that I have. But I know God can work it out. And I didn't get to pray about any of the replacements, you know. Many people there will say they're Christians, and then they, you know, then you find out from their actions that they're not. So we need a lot of prayer that I can pull myself together and I can get a list of everything that I want to make sure that I get the teachers trained in. He also replaced our nurse, so and our office person. So she handled all the money, all the intake of the students, all the paperwork, everything. So now we've got, he's replaced everybody except for the head teacher. We need a head teacher. And he's like the most important position because you don't have good leadership. And so we really need prayer for that. And, you know, the office person, you know, we taught her how to use a computer. And then last year we brought her a computer, or last time we were there in August. And we also got a copy machine because now we have power. She's the only one that knows how to use it. So it's just, there's a lot of challenges, you know, and I'm not like, yeah, we're going to Uganda. I'm like, you know, I'm just like, how am I going to do this by myself? You know, well, Maggie's coming. So I said, okay, the first week we're going to concentrate in the office. We're going to help get all these kids, you know, we're going to make sure that it's organized, that all the intake goes smoothly. You know, then we're going to start working on all the teacher cupboards because every teacher was trained. I have all these teaching materials that they can use. And so I had to train all the teachers on all the materials that are there for them to use. And now all those teachers are gone. So I've got 13 teachers to train on all those materials. So I put it the last, you know, but God, you know, because he can do anything. He can make a way where there is no way.
His arm is not too short. We have the Ugandan requirements that we have to adhere to, and they come out from the county, if you will, and they send people out from the government to check on that quite often. So we have a syllabus or a curriculum that we have to adhere to, and then we can add on to that. And so my niece is an educator and had set up a school in Hawaii, so she came and added some things, got us kind of started in that, and then we've been bolting onto that. Well, some of the teachers, when we're there, they do very well. And then as soon as we go away, they stop doing certain things. Well, then they started apparently forming some cliques and deciding that they were just not going to do this or that. And it's just weird in their culture. It's like here, you give somebody a job, and they have a job description, and you give them a handbook that says these are the things that you need to do. People just do it, or they say, gosh, I don't want to do that, and I'm going to quit and go somewhere else. Well, there, they'll just, you know, decide they're not going to do it. And it's like, well, you know, I've had a problem with people doing that kind of thing. And then it's like, well, why do we put up with this? Why are we keeping this person? I'll be asking Hannington, you know, they've done X, Y, Z two times now. And, you know, you've had to write them up or whatever. It's like, why aren't we replacing this person? Why do you keep, well, let's give them a chance.
It's a cultural thing, because things that we think are, a no-brainer for them are not a no-brainer. Like sexual harassment. Like, we found out that our director of studies was trying to sleep with the ladies in the dorm and different teachers, and he doesn't understand that his position of power, you know, makes, that's not understood there. It's a real common thing. Even teachers in elementary school will sleep with their students. So, and other teachers. It's just rampant. So sometimes you have to decide, okay, is this a cultural issue? Can this be trained? Are they going to learn? And then you train them. If they don't learn, then it becomes an issue. If they do, if they change their behavior, then, you know, it's okay. But there often you don't find out until later. Uganda is full of deceit. And when you're raised in a pagan culture, not in a Christian household, you think you're being clever when you deceive others. So it's that whole thing. thing. So the answer is we don't really know. I think that he did feel like, you know, when you don't exactly know where the threat is coming from and you're not exactly sure who you can trust, it's better to have a clean slate. So that's what we have, and I just have to say, okay, God, this, you're in this. You know, I didn't have anything to do with this, and it's not my burden, it's God's burden. So my prayer is that that we got some believers who are true believers. And believe it or not,
I mean, people can lie to you about who they are or claim to be a Christian, and they can keep up an act for a period of time. And that might be for some people 8 months or a year, and another person might make it 2 years. But eventually, your stripes are going to come out, you know, who you really are. And so, you know, when that happens, sometimes it happens in a big way. So
does anybody have any questions? I think you had a question here. Okay. No, they actually,
December, their summer break.
Yeah, December is when they stop, and February is when it starts. And they actually stopped 2 weeks early because of Ebola. So after COVID, we had Ebola.
We didn't have it in our area.
County next door.
The best way to explain it is our county borders their county where they had it. But if you can imagine, say, the very, very north of King County and the very, very south of, what's Tacoma? I can't remember now. Pierce County. So if something happened in, like, Mount Vernon and you're way down south of Tacoma, that's how far we are away. But what the government does is they just shut down travel by county. So I'm on the American embassies, you know, if something happens, they send me an email. And so when this was going on over in, the Mitiana district, and we're next door to them, even though we're only literally a mile and a half from, you know, the Wakiso district, we could have been locked down. I mean, literally, you go out of Basunji, you go down the road a quarter of a mile, you go across that bridge, if you remember that little river there, that's where the Army would have been saying, go back. And so if they stop travel, then you have to have forms and, you know, you have to have a reason and all this kind of stuff. And so we didn't want to be caught up again in another, you know, kind of a nightmare scenario of being stuck.
The good thing is they declared Uganda Ebola free last week. Yeah. So just in time, because we were watching to see what was going to happen. So is there anybody else that has any questions for us? I've got, I printed out a prayer list. So it's a full page.
It's not 25 pages. It's individual pages.
So I just thought that maybe we could have some prayer time together. So I thought we could pass this out and pray, and we just really need some discernment.
So we thought we had our plans for this trip pretty well, you know, dialed in as far as what we were going to do. You might want to keep one of those.
Can just go sit down now, though. Just everybody can just pray however they feel led to pray. And you can pray for things that are not on this list. This is just what came to mind. We listed all of our staff separately. So if you feel like, oh gosh, I really have a thing for fourth grade teachers, pray for our fourth grade teacher. And if you don't feel like praying out loud, don't pray out loud. But we just thought we really need prayer. So we thought, if we could all pray together, that would really mean a lot.
And thanks for having us. Thank you so much.
And we really appreciate your guys' support, honestly.
So we're going to take a few minutes and pray through this list, okay? And then before these guys leave, I would like us to gather around them and pray for them, okay? I don't know if you can tell or not, but these guys are pretty hands-on, all right? And to spend 4 or 5 months of a year in another country, that's a big deal, all right? And so these always like, and they're very good at putting pictures out and showing us what they're doing. So I really appreciate how well you guys let us know what's going on. So, yeah. She does, yes. She does. All right. So let's just begin to pray and just pray out. And for those of you watching online, we will get this out. But you're probably not going to be able to hear, so we will say goodbye at this point to those that are watching online, and we will get those posted so that you guys know what to pray online too.